Open to Matthew 7. We'll be in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. This is a scary passage. There are passages in the Bible that scare us. I think of Revelation 20, where there is a great white throne, and on that throne sits a king named Jesus. And the sea gives up the dead it contains, and the land opens, and the dead it contains rise, and they all assemble before the throne that Jesus sits on. And there are books that are opened, and all of these books contain the deeds done by all of these people. And their deeds condemn them, all except for those whose names are written in another book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Another passage that can be scary is Genesis 6, when God is so angry, rightly angry at the sin in the world, that he sends a global catastrophe, a flood, and the waters descend from the heaven and rise out of the ground and cover the earth and kill all but 8 people off of the earth. We're going to look at another scary passage tonight, and this one's scary for a different reason. It can shake the confidence of even believers. But that is what it's intended to do. Sometimes our confidence in the wrong things needs to be shaken so that our confidence can be grounded in the right things. So let's read Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" And then will I declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Let's pray. Father, please open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your law. Let the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Lord, please help us to know your way so that we can walk in your truth. And Lord, please unite our hearts to fear your name. And Lord, please help us to taste and see that you are good. And Lord, may we be blessed as people who take refuge in you. Lord, please let me not add anything to the Bible or take anything away from it, but please minister through your word by the power of your Spirit to us, your people. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray, amen. There is a group of people identified in this passage. There's a phrase that identifies them, and it's repeated twice in this passage, and it starts with the word "says." So look at the fourth word in verse 21, the fourth word. Some will say to me, "Lord, Lord." And then look down in verse 22 at the sixth word there. Many will say to me, "Lord, Lord." But the Lord will declare to them, "I never knew you." This passage shakes our confidence rightly, because the Lord wants us to be confident in the right things. There are false claimers, the Bible says, and so we must not look at our claim but we must look past it and look at our hearts. Let's take a moment and zoom out and see where this passage is in the Bible. It's in the book of Matthew, and it's in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the question is asked, what is true righteousness? That question is asked, and that question is answered. Righteousness means meeting God's standard. And in Matthew 5, look with me at Matthew 5, verse 3. It's the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, blessed are who? The poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the poor in spirit are not those who are morally bankrupt, but those who understand that they are naturally morally bankrupt and who are brokenhearted about that. Now, look at Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are who? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Righteousness is not always what we think it is. It's not adhering to a checklist. And it's not what other people see that looks righteous. God defines true righteousness. So what does that look like? Well, Matthew 5 is all about the fact that righteousness, true righteousness, is not just a checklist. It comes from the heart. It's not just do this and do this and don't do this. Is your heart dispositioned that way? Look with me at verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. The command to not murder doesn't mean just don't kill someone. It means don't hate them in your heart. And even more than that, it means love them in your heart. Love your neighbors and your enemies. Look with me at verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Adultery doesn't just mean don't sleep with someone. Adultery means don't even lust after someone in your heart. Jesus is not raising the bar for righteousness. He is exposing it. We tend to rely on things that look impressive to call ourselves righteous, but that's not true righteousness. True righteousness is found in the heart. So Matthew 5 says true righteousness is in the heart. It's not just a checklist of do's and don'ts. It's more than that. It's a heart posture that produces that. Matthew 6, look at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Righteousness is not doing the things that look impressive to other people. It's about our relationship with our Father. How do we know that? Well, look at verse 5 in Matthew 6. Look at verse 6. The last sentence of verse 6. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you when you pray. And look at verse 4 in Matthew 6. In terms of your giving, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And look at verse 18. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. True righteousness is not about what other people see and the reward that we get from them. True righteousness is about what God has commanded and a heart that seeks to love him. So then we get to Matthew 7. And Matthew 7 asks, what does this look like in the real world? And in Matthew 7, verse 14, we see that there are many people who follow Jesus and who claim to have this righteousness, but the way that leads to life is hard, and those who find it are few. We see that among the assembly of people who claim to have righteousness and who follow Jesus, in verses 15 to 20, among that assembly there are false prophets, people who look like sheep but are actually wolves seeking to devour other people, and we will know them by their fruits. They smell different. And then we get to our passage. Among the assembly of people who claim to have righteousness and who follow Jesus, there are those who say, Lord, Lord. But he says, I never knew you. These people deceive themselves. So tonight we will see that there are false claimers. So we must look past our claim and look at our hearts. And we're going to see two reasons why we must look past our claim and look at our hearts. The first one is that since false claimers are impressed with themselves, we must look past our claim and look at our hearts. Look with me in Matthew 7:22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? See how false claimers are impressed with themselves. Lord, we prophesied. Lord, we cast out demons. Lord, we did many mighty works, many miracles. Jesus is not impressed with that the way that they are impressed with themselves. All these things are very visible to other people. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't cast out any demons this week. But for us, there are other things that impress us about ourselves and that other people might be impressed by. Our impressive church attendance, or how much we serve in church, or what's on our calendar, or maybe how much the Lord has blessed us financially, or maybe our appearance, what we look like physically, or an attitude of having it all together. These are the kinds of things that we are all tempted to be impressed with about ourselves. And these are the kinds of things that other people can be impressed by. And none of them are wrong on their own. But Jesus is trying to shake our confidence in these things, because these things are where false confidence comes from. He does not want our confidence to be in these things that other people see and that we are impressed with. He wants our confidence to be in what God is doing in our hearts. See how easy it is to be impressed with yourself. I know this, you know this, we all know our hearts and how much we are tempted to want other people to see us a certain way so that we can see ourselves that way. But these are not the things that Jesus is impressed with. Jesus looks past those things and he sees our hearts. But think about it this way. Think about one of the first followers of Jesus in the first church. Think about the Apostle Paul. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was a man named Saul, and he thought that he was on fire for the Lord. He chased down rebels that he thought were dirtying the name of God, and he killed them. And he thought that he would be declared righteous in that moment for doing these things. He was zealous for it. But those weren't the things that God was after. And so those things weren't truly righteous. He just thought they were. And other people were impressed with him. He was impressed with himself. That wasn't what God was looking for. So we see that Jesus is not impressed with the things that we are impressed with and that other people tend to be impressed with. But there will be a day. The third word in verse 22 is day. There will be a day of judgment. That great white throne that we talked about earlier is real. and we haven't seen it yet, but Jesus will judge from there. And what does he say to these people who are so impressed with themselves? Look at verse 23. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. False claimers will be condemned by Jesus. So look past your claim and look at your heart. That is the second reason tonight that we must look at our hearts. Jesus will say, I never knew you. Not that I knew you and forgot you, but that I never knew you. A good judge judges evil. And Jesus is a good judge. Now, we know that someone who has more authority can hold people to a higher standard. So if your little sister, who let's say is 7 years old, asks you to do something for her, maybe she says, Mom said do this. Adults, you remember this. Little ones, you're living it. If your little sister says, do this for me, that often merits a half-hearted job. If your boss at work says, do this for me, because of his greater authority, he merits a greater job. He can hold you to a higher standard. So how much more does God deserve our best? God is perfect and he is infinitely holy, so he deserves a perfect heart. God does not judge on a scale. He does not weigh your good deeds and your bad deeds and say, as long as your good deeds are a little bit better, you're okay. That's not how it works. God sets the bar for righteousness, and it is meeting his standard. And we see in Isaiah that apart from Christ, all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. They don't amount to anything in God's eyes. Those things that we are impressed with do not impress the Lord. And Jesus will see this because he knows our hearts. And he will say, depart from me. There is a place reserved for you. It is hell. It is scary. And I'm not saying this to intimidate you, but I'm saying this because it is true. And it is in the Bible. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus calls these people workers of lawlessness. It's not that they were righteous and Jesus decided that he wouldn't let them in. It's that they weren't righteous. Now, these people looked like they were righteous. They cast out demons. They prophesied. They did miracles. But they were workers of lawlessness because, like Matthew 5 and 6 said, it didn't come from their heart. Those deeds were not about pleasing their Father. Since Jesus condemns false claimers, we must look past our claim and look at our hearts. Have you seen how easy it is to be impressed with yourself? It's easy. We all know that. Have you seen that Jesus condemns false claimers because that is what a righteous judge does? And you see now that there are false claimers, so we must look past our claim, shake off a false confidence in things that don't matter, and examine our hearts. So, what does a true claim look like? Well, look with me in verse 21, chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what we've seen. That's the warning. That's the shake off your false confidence. but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus doesn't want you to have no confidence. He wants you to have a right confidence. So what does it mean to do the will of the Father? Well, who teaches us what the will of the Father is? Jesus. We see that in verse 24. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Jesus came to fulfill the law because we could never fulfill it. This is not a message of be perfect, because we could never be perfect. That's what this text is about. It's not a call to earn your righteousness. It's a call to look past the things that seem impressive and your words, your claim, and to look at your heart and see what God is doing there. It's not a call to be perfect. Jesus was perfect for us. He came to fulfill the law because we could never fulfill it. The greatest miracle that Jesus did was not prophesying or casting out demons or doing many mighty works. It was living a perfect life and having a perfect heart that never hated someone unjustly, that never lusted after someone. He never broke those commandments that you and I have been breaking before we knew what they were. Jesus is perfect. But he doesn't stand in his perfection and look down to just condemn you. He stands in his perfection and he offers that to us. Jesus is righteous. And he came and he lived a perfect life and he died the death that we deserved to die. And it wasn't his death that allowed him to give us his righteousness. It was the fact that he bore the wrath that the Father reserved against my sin, against our sin. He bore that wrath and absorbed it. And that was far more terrible than any amount of physical pain on a cross. He absorbed the punishment for our sin. He died and was buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave so that we could have new life in him. And I know most of you, we know this. Those who have faith in Christ, those who believe that he is God and choose to submit their lives to him will be declared righteous in God's eyes. But sometimes we wonder, has that happened to me? And this text is pleading with us. Don't settle for a false confidence. But look at what God says matters and indicates a new heart. There are false claimers. A claim is not the same thing as having faith. It doesn't matter if you say, "Lord, Lord." It's about being submitted to the Lord. So has this happened? We often wonder this, and I've been reading this passage for a while preparing, and it has broken me in a lot of ways and made me think and examine my heart. The question of, are we doing the Father's will? Are we doing the words that Jesus has said? He's explained what that is in this passage. In Matthew 5, he says that that means having a heart that wants to do what is right. And in Matthew 6, it says that it's having a heart that seeks to please the Lord and not to please other people. But we know that Jesus isn't asking for perfection. We know that we could never meet that standard perfectly this side of heaven. and look back with me at two verses that we already looked at. Matthew 5, 3. Matthew 5, 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Has your sin broken your heart? And look at verse 6, just a couple lines down. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Is that your heart's desire? Doing the will of our Father who is in heaven, like verse 21 says, those who will be declared to have a true claim. That is not about doing what is perfect, because we can't meet that standard. Jesus had to do that for us. What is it about? It's about, has he changed your will? When Jesus gives us a new heart, it's regenerated, it is new, it still has remaining sin though. But have you seen the evidence of sanctification? Have you seen the Lord change what you want, change what you will, change your choices? We do not always make the right choices. But have you seen him change that? Have you grown in your desire, your hunger, your thirst for righteousness? Have you seen the Lord give you a new wanter? A new willer. Are you doing the Father's will? Do you see these evidences in your heart? The Lord wants us to cast off our false confidence in things that impress other people. And he wants us to be confident in the signs of things that he is doing in our hearts. He does want us to be confident in that. But maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't see that. Well, do you want this new life that the Lord has offered? And if you do, then please hear this chance, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Take it. Submit to the Lord. Ask him to give you that new heart that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Understand your sin, that you could never save yourself. You could never measure up to the perfect standard. And choose to follow the Lord. And if you're not sure about that, talk to me. Talk to Pastor Matt or Pastor Andrew or our deacons or your parents or someone that you know comes here regularly and knows the Lord. But more probably, in this crowd, you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, the Lord has changed my desires, but I still stumble. And I do still struggle with sin. And I don't know what to do with that. Ask yourself, how does your sin affect you? Are you truly brokenhearted when you sin, not because of the fact that you failed in your personal track record, but because you've broken the heart of a God who loves you? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are you bothered by the fact that there is still sin in your life? And are you making progress in the pursuit of holiness, the fight against sin? Do you see these things? And do other people who know your heart see these things about you? These are the things that we must look for. And this text is here because we have a tendency to put our confidence in ourselves and in the things that other people see and are impressed with. But that is not where our confidence needs to be. Our confidence needs to be in what the Lord is doing in our lives. There are false claimers. So look past your claim and look at your heart. Let's pray.